Today's reading is Romans 8, verse 28 to 39. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns Christ Jesus, who died? More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, Sharon, for that reading. God is for you. I'd like us to sort of say this to people near us. If you can, just look around and say to someone by your side, God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. And God is for me. God is for us. So I'd like us to zero in on the 31st verse, verse 31. And if you can show that, please, verse 31. And if we can read together, verse 31, can we read, please? What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Those are powerful, powerful words. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's remember that we've been looking through the theme, fighting from a place of victory. And last week, we looked through the whole armor of God. And today, let's dwell on this topic, God is for you. So those words, and in fact, the passage, we are written to a church that will soon be under terrible, terrible persecution. In just a few years from the time that the apostle wrote this passage to the church in Rome, we are told that he wrote to them during his third missionary journey when he was in Corinth. And around AD 57, at that time, the church was fully mature. You know, they had people who are, fully mature in faith, people who have been Christians for a number of years, fully grounded in the Word of God and had experience with Christ. But a few years from then, it was like as if he was sort of speaking into the future. It was like he was preparing them for what is about to come. So before then, he was now writing to them these things, as if he knew. But he didn't know that in a few years' time, from the time he wrote, they were going to face terrible, terrible persecution, like people do these days all across the world. People face persecution for speaking the faith. In fact, for believing in Christ, for just becoming a Christian, some people face persecution, some even die, sadly. And some have their houses maybe burnt down, family members kidnapped or abducted just because of believing in Christ. So this was what they were going to face a few years from now, but these words from the apostle was like assuring them that no matter what happens, God is for you. And also bringing it down to us as believers in Christ. This is a powerful, powerful passage that speaks to the heart of every believer and reassuring us of the unwavering love of God and again, his divine purpose in our lives. Those who believe in Yeshua, the Messiah. So it is a testament of God's love to us and also the victory we have in Jesus Christ. So as we, like the first century Christians, navigate our way in our faith, let's remember we are more than conquerors because whatever we have and whatever we go through, God is there with us. And so we go back to the beginning of the passage again, so if you don't mind. And I would like us to consider this passage before us today in three ways. And the first one, looking at verse 28 to verse 30. And we will consider the assurance of God's purpose in our lives. And after that, we'll also look at verse 31 to verse 34, which speaks about the confidence that we have in God's love. And then from verse 35 to verse 39, the concluding one, the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. So Paul begins by affirming that in all things, they work together for the good of those who love God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And we know that in all things, I'd like us to underline that, not in some things, all things. Not when we are feeling good, but all the time. Not when we have money in our pockets and our bank accounts, but all times, in all things, in all things. So they work together for our own good. And including isolated incidents in our lives. You know, there are times that we feel that maybe God is with me when we have good testimonies to say. And maybe God is not with me when maybe I've lost a family member. God is with us all the time. He is with us. Even when we are going through things in our lives, maybe going through persecution, like we said, going through some personal struggles, God is with us. Let's look deep and see the hands of God in everything that we go through. Now, it doesn't mean, I just wanted you to just consider this. It doesn't mean that all things that happen to us is good. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that all things that happen to us, because we live in an evil world. We live in an unjust society. You know, there are some times you look around and maybe you question why there are inequalities here and there, why things go the way they go to some people, for some people. But if we spend all the time, all the year having those questions, we'll go nowhere. So it's not that all that happened to us is good, but God uses all that happened to us for our own good. If we look beyond whatever happens and see the hands of God in our lives, if we just stay still and ask the Lord, why are you taking me through this? Maybe lesson, for example. Why am I going through this experience at this time? If we can just go back to his purposes in our lives, we can see that he uses all things to bring out the victory in our lives, to fulfill the purpose for which He has called us. He says, these things work for good for those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose, those who have submitted their lives to Jesus Christ. So not for everyone, but for those who are in Christ Jesus. And to be called is to be summoned or to be invited. So we have been summoned by God. We have been invited by him. And then he has justified us. He knew us. Of course, he knew us before even we were born. Remember what he told Jeremiah. All right, Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. He knows us. Do you believe that? I know we do. We believe that God already, he knew, and he knows all about us. And so he has predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his son. He has called us. He has invited us. And then he has justified us. And remember, we are not now under our own righteousness, but under the righteousness of God. So such people are the people who have a very new perspective and a very new mindset on what they go through. They trust God. They don't trust in the worldly system. They don't trust in the economy, but they trust on God. And they rely on his security for everything that we go through, because heaven is our goal. Praise God. Heaven is our goal. Our faith is in God. God is God of the mountain. He is also the God of the valley. He is God all the time. And all the time he is God. He is not good only when we have things going on in our lives. Now, when we look through verse 31 to verse 34, please. What then shall we say in response to this? In response to the fact that he has called us, he has summoned us, invited us, he has justified us, and he is for us. What can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. If God is for us, let's remind ourselves of the ultimate proof of God's love. He is for us. And a few weeks ago, he demonstrated that, as we remember, the Easter. He died. He did not stay there. He rose again, and he lives forevermore. And so he gave us salvation. Salvation, we might not feel like it, but we are saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are saved. So now, there are sometimes you might not feel that you are saved or that God is working for you because of what is around you. You might feel, well, he's working for her, he's working for him, but what about me? When you have that going through your mind, remember that Jesus paid the price for all of us. And I will explain it this way. My son is my son. No matter how he feels, if he wakes up in the morning and he feels, well, I don't feel like a Henry or Hacker today, does that change anything? It doesn't change anything. He has the blood flowing in him forever and ever. And sometimes, you know, as we do all do, when we go against what our parents say, you know, or we, you know, do something that they don't like, it doesn't make them say, all right, from today, henceforth, you're no more my son. Well, some people do, but no matter how you say it, they are still your sons, they are still your children, they are still yours. We cannot run away from it. We cannot, it's still the blood flowing in those veins. And that's the way it is for a child of God. When the blood of Jesus washes you and saves you from your sins, there are sometimes you might question that because of what you go through. You might question it because temptations from left and right, you know, trying to pull you here and pull you there. But the fact is that God is for you. And that, I mean, those are the times we should even remind ourselves, and in fact, remind the devil, the enemy, that no, I know he is for me, and I know he is working things out in my life. I don't know about you, that there are sometimes that maybe you have prayed, and the results and answers are not forthcoming, and you sometimes question, have I prayed the right prayer? Is anything I'm not doing? Is anything I'm not saying? God is for you, even in those moments. You know, there are sometimes maybe you began a race with someone and they seem to be ahead of you and things seem to be going all well for them. And, you know, you look around and you seem to not be running in the same pace with them. Am I doing anything wrong? At those moments, let's remind ourselves that God is for us. At least he's not against us. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's not against us. He is for us. He cannot be against us when he is giving his son for us. There is no way he can be against us. He cannot be against us when he's paid the highest price for us. He cannot. It doesn't make sense for him to turn around and be against us. So when things are not going the same way that we had expected, let's just conclude the fact that someone might be, and that's those things, the enemy and all his works might be against us, but no matter what happens, they cannot take us away from the love of God. Those things are not able. Let's have that confidence that God is for us. And then when we read from 35 again, finally, Paul declares that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes on to list those things that are possible things that could separate us. They could. I don't know if you remember, I told us a story about someone who was a very faithful child of God until at a point. In fact, he was even a pastor. But his wife got sick, and this was in the U.S. And I think it was a few years ago. And they prayed for them to be healed. They did all they knew. You know, there are some, God is different. He works differently for us. Someone might be sick, and they pray, and God answers by healing them. Another person may be sick and they pray, and God might maybe walk through their sickness and produce some sort of experience to be used for something else. And you might go away questioning, why is this person, you know, receiving their answer this way, and why is this person receiving differently? He is God, I don't know. And so this man prayed and his wife died. And when this woman died, the man was kind of having that existential questions and all things about himself, about his faith, about his everything. Do you know what he did? He denounced Christ. Yeah, he made a public statement saying, I don't think there is God anymore. Because I've prayed, I've done all I could, I've fasted, I've done that. Why did he take my wife away from me when I needed him most? And you know, people began to pray for him and began to speak to him and, you know, began to sort of care for him, counsel him, and took him through some sessions and began to speak again, reminding him of the word of God in his life. I don't know how the story ended, but I should believe that he began to see sense in what they were saying. But these things are capable of destroying someone's faith. If they don't make sure they remind themselves of the word of God, don't just brush them away. You know, when we live in a country that we don't face death, for example, we don't face persecution, for example, and we don't face some physical danger for believing in Christ, we might be lax in our faith. We might be so lukewarm. But there are some people that are facing these things and they are still holding on to their faith. And they are still growing. You see, the church is growing over there because they have reminded themselves and keep reminding themselves of the Word of God. So don't brush it away. Don't brush these things away. But what you should do is to try to remind yourself of the promise that God has for us. Trouble, hardship, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. These and many more are the things that those who put their faith in Christ have to face daily because of Christ. But the apostle reminds us that these things are not capable of separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus Christ. He loves us so much. For your sake, we face death all day. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Praise God. It's an experienced child of God, I will tell you, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor all powers. And powers could be the demons, the devils, and all those things that are walking in unseen places. They are the things that are trying to separate us from the love of God. But neither are these things, nor even the ones we don't see, they are not able to separate us. Neither heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have victory in Christ. Praise God. We have victory because we know all things work together for our good. And let's pray for ourselves and pray for those who are facing persecution and those who are facing even death, trouble, and all those things. May they remain steadfast in their faith. Paul is convinced, and I am convinced, that victory is in Jesus Christ because we are now fighting from a place of victory. Praise God. We are fighting not in our own power. We are facing the enemy, not because we know how to read the Bible. We are facing the enemy because Jesus Christ already achieved victory for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then that's the way we will face him. And he closes by saying, nor any powers. No power is able, as we mentioned last week from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, no unseen force, no evil in the universe, no Satan and his fallen angels will be able to separate us from the love of God. But I just want you to make up your mind. When you believe in Jesus, when you put your trust in him, you are no more in the camp of the enemy. You are in a different place. You don't belong to him anymore. He doesn't have any power against you anymore. Try, he will. But victory, he will not have. He will try. You know how he does that? Sometimes through attacking our minds. You know, bringing in some of the negative things that go against what we believe. And sometimes attacking our desire to pray or even to read and study the Bible. Or sometimes bringing doubt to us, trying to question our faith. If you say you're a child of God, why is God not answering you? Trying to question what we believe. These things happen to us even if we've been Christians for 100 years. Nobody, as a child of God, is immune from all these attacks. There is never a day that you say, oh, I'm too strong. Like I was one day doing Bible studies with my children, and we were discussing the topic of temptation. And I was saying to them, no matter how high you've grown in your faith, you should make sure that you prepare yourself against temptation. And I gave them a very, very simple illustration I'll close with. And let's say, for example, that you don't drink. And you know you don't. But you go buy some water, like you're drinking now, and go put it inside maybe a bottle of what drink? What are those names of those drinks? And then you go put it in, you know, in those types of bottle and sit in just at the street corner. Who knows if you're drinking water? Do you get my point? But you have your water inside
vodka.
Thank you. Inside maybe a bottle of vodka, an empty one, and then you have your bottle in your water inside it, and you go on the street and, you know, you're drinking your water. Or you alone know you are drinking water, but no one knows you are drinking water. They will, you know, pass by and conclude that he says he's not drinking, she says he doesn't drink, but what is she doing? That's temptation. You are just calling on people and inviting temptation for yourself. And I also gave them another illustration. I hope it will stay with them forever. You don't go visiting a young lady, for example, if you're a young man, and you know you are spirit-filled, and you know you are, you know, and you go visiting them alone in their hostel or in their homes. What are you doing? You don't go doing that, inviting temptation to yourself. You should guard against every appearance of evil. Every appearance. I mean, these are the things we are told while we are growing in Christ. And no wonder we grew and remained and holding the word of God. You know, these days, people play down on discipleship. They play down on holiness. They play down on righteousness. Because we are living in a postmodern world. We are living in a generation that we are no more concerned with those old-time religion that they gave to us. When you should be careful what you say and what you don't say. You should be careful how you dress. Of course, you should be smart. You should dress smart. But you don't go suggesting something that you are not in. You don't just go dressing suggestive, you know, dressing or saying some cursing words. And because that's the in thing, the television today, they say it. Even if a preacher does, even if preachers are not our standard. This is our standard. The Bible is our standard. No one living or dead is our standard. Jesus is our person we look unto. So let's make sure that we don't give his place to the devil. But no matter what happens, my point is today that God is for us. These things, they may come, but they will not take us away from the love of God. He loves us so much. And anyone you love, you protect. Anyone you love, you can do anything because of them. I love my family. I can do anything because of them. I love them so much. I can even put myself on the line because of my family, because I love them. And so I cannot be against them. It doesn't work that way. God loves us so much. He cannot turn around and be against us. So there are some times he allows us, because of the experience he wants us to get, to go through experience. But no matter what happens, let's stay still, asking him, Lord, what do you want me to get from this experience? What is the lesson you want from me? Maybe the appointment is not long coming, the disappointments here and there. There might be some lesson in those things. So let's learn the lesson and become better Christians than we are. And so we've spent some time now praying for ourselves and praying for everyone that is going through some difficult moments. And of course, remembering those in some other part of the world that are experiencing persecution at this time. Let's pray. God is for us. He is not against us. He gave his son who died on the cross for us. He loves us so much. He has redeemed us from darkness. And he has accepted us in his kingdom. God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? There is no power. There is no demon that can be against us because God is for us. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be reminded every minute of your presence with us. When we go through things, oh Lord, when we are even down in our faith, during our low percentage moments, during times that we question our faith, during times of struggle, during times of hunger even, Lord, help us to remember that you are with us. And I am praying, Lord, for anyone right now, maybe going through some of those things that the apostle lists here, hardship, persecution, even near-death experiences, Lord, we ask that you will arise for them right now and prove yourself. In the name of Jesus the Christ, for everyone, Lord, that even questioning their faith at this moment because of what they are having to grapple with. Maybe the prayers are long and not even coming. The answers are not coming. They are now questioning their faith. Lord, I pray that you speak in their minds now. Speak in their hearts. And I pray that you will come through for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus the Christ. I ask, Lord, that you will answer and that you will prove yourself for your child at this moment. And so, Lord, we pray for those who are going through persecution, terrible persecutions at this time. Lord, we ask that you will be with them. Some of them are kidnapped because of their faith. Some families in some part of the world right now might be mourning because of someone in their family killed by these people just because of putting their trust in you. We pray, Lord, that they will know your peace and your presence and that they will trust you continually. Lord, we pray for the young ones in our midst, Lord. We ask that you will protect them from the evil one. We pray, Lord, that you will fill them with that knowing that God is for them. That wherever they go, that they will not go far from the love of God. That the love of Jesus will always be with them and will always answer their prayers. We pray for those, Lord, who are going through some physical pain now. Maybe because of sickness. Lord, we ask that you will come through. You are the Lord that heals us. We believe in healing, O Lord. And we ask that you will touch us with your healing power. We pray, Lord, for those who are going through some maybe mental difficulties, Lord, at this time. We ask that they will hear the voice of heaven, the voice of the Lord, speaking and reassuring us of your presence. Lord, we thank you. For you are always there for us. God is for us. You are not against us. Help us to believe this, Lord, as we go forth today, for the rest of the day. Let it ring in our hearts. Let it keep ringing all through this week that God is for us. And if you are for us, who can be against us? Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.